لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
We will continue, inshallah, the explanation of the book of the Ubudiyah, the servitude by Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah. May Allah have His mercy upon him. We are at the page number six. We stopped at the point where it started that. As for the connotation of Abd as being subdued one, irrespective, we talked before that the author, he said that the word Abd or servant could mean two things. It could be the one that worship, or could be the one that has to submit, whether it like it or not. As Allah, and the latter, the first would be the one that would submit to Allah by obeying Allah and doing what Allah has commanded. That would be the worshipper. That what meaning of the abd or the servant is the one who willingly worship Allah and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of an option. And the other one, the meaning of abd, is the one that's mu'abbad, which is the one that's subdued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that's been that has been subjected to Allah's command, regardless of he want it or not. Because that's out of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the latter would be basically the servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is everyone has to submit to it, which means whatever Allah decree is going to happen on them, whether they believe in it or not, whether they want it or not, that they are subjected to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever Allah has decreed is going to happen to them, whether they want it or not. Thinks that, and as even his limbs and organs would still obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those limbs and organs would even glorify Allah, whether he want that or not. So the latter of the two is any creation that Allah created is going to be subjected to Allah's decree and rules. So the notation of the abd is being as the one who's been subdued, irrespective of whether he maintains it or rejects it. This meaning is common to both the believers or disbelievers. So these are the ones that Allah rules and decree are. This type of servitude would cover both the believers and disbelievers. Everyone that is included under this, because Allah rules and laws are going to apply on them whether they like it or not. Through the disparity between these two types, one can distinguish the difference between the religious realities that pertain to the worship of Allah, His religion, and His legislative command, which He loves, is pleased with, and offer wala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and honor Him, honor them with His garden. It's one type says with His honor, and the other one says with His paradise, and make it with His paradise. And if you have and between the universal realities that are common to both the believers and disbelievers, and the righteous and the unrighteous. Whoever limits himself to the universal realities and does not accede to the religious realities is of the followers of the accursed Iblis or Shaitan or Satan, and of the disbelievers in the Lord of the world. So the one those who are subjected to Allah's rules and laws and decrees, whether they like it or not, these are the one that are will fall under the universal ubudiyah only. They have no option, they have no will on this, they cannot accept it or reject it. Because, I mean, Allah's rules is going to be applied on them, like death and life and all the decrees. But the other type are those who follow Allah's commands and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rules and laws have been set, and people will follow them voluntarily in this case, when and they follow and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah commands something, they follow it, and when Allah forbids something, they abandon it. These are the legislative rules that Allah has set. And these include what Allah said and commanded us. So the difference between these two type of servants, there has to be a difference in there. So, and according to the author, the one that is limiting himself to the universal decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even those who would believe that, you know, everything is being created by Allah and is run by the will of Allah, but they never comply by the rules and the laws that Allah has set in the legislative. So that will still fall under the universal reality. That's where there is no difference between the believer and disbeliever. And those would be the followers of Iblis. Because Iblis himself, I mean, he does claim that Allah is the creator, and he knows that. Iblis himself knows that Allah, everything is run according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we have gone through some of the verses before, where Iblis is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis was conversing with Allah, and he says, with your mighty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will mislead all of them except your pious believers among your servants. So Iblis knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, and Iblis knows that Allah had the power and the will. And then Iblis himself say, Oh Lord, give me a chance to stay until the day of judgment, and I will mislead them. So Iblis knew that there would be a day of judgment. He knew that there would be a day that's where there would be accountability. There would be and he knew that there would be the day of reckoning. He knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring everyone and resurrect them from after death. So Iblis knows all of this. And he knows that everything is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that Allah will is the thing that's run things. So Iblis knew that ahead of time. He knew that, but none of that will benefit Iblis. His knowledge about all of these things are not going to benefit him, because he did not believe, he did not comply by the rules and laws set. As we talked before also, and that even the disbelievers and those who were the mushrikeen, they used to believe that Allah is the creator, Allah is the supreme power, but they still go and worship those idols. And then they would say that, you know, everything in the hands of Allah, and if Allah wanted, we would never go astray. And they go astray, and like they blame Allah for it, but if Allah willed, then we wouldn't have gone astray. So they did not benefit from their knowledge of Allah as a creator. So still their knowledge didn't benefit them in the right way. And whoever limits himself to the universal realities and does not accede to the real religious reality is of the followers of the accursed Iblis and of the disbelievers and the Lord of the worlds. Some of the believers. And as for the one who limits himself to some of these matters, the religious matters, and forgoes other or only the retained understanding or circumstances, his iman and wilaya with Allah subhanahu decrease according to the decrement that is present on the religious realities. So the iman of this kind of person would be decreased. And this type of person with their iman, they still take some of the matters lightly and not as seriously as others, and because of that their iman will be affected in the negative way by decreasing. This is one level which still has deficiency in it. Deficiency in it, and the deficiency of this or the shortcoming is as much as how much the person would leave out and not follow or perform from the legislative and rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like a person who would drink the wine and he says that, you know, this is willed by Allah. Allah wanted me to drink. In this case he knew the truth. By the same talking, I mean you can abandon wine and also say that's Allah's will that I never get close to it. So, but why when you drink it, you say now Allah wanted me to drink. Why when you abandon it, you didn't say that, oh Allah protect me from it. So in this case, I mean the universal realities are going to be applied on both the believers and disbelievers. Allah gave you the power and the will to decide and do or don't do those sins. So these kind of people, we tell them that, you know what, you know the truth. You know the truth, but you didn't follow the legislative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by doing the right thing, or abandoning the evil things. And also some people would fall into the mistakes of abandoning good deeds, and they would blame it on the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, some people would become disbelievers and they would be even mushrikeen, and they say it's Allah's will that we are in this situation. By the same time, there are people who will abandon some of the good deeds, and they would also say that this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we couldn't make it. And as example here, that the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the the Prophet ﷺ went to Ali's house in the middle of the night, and he found him and Fatima were asleep. And the Prophet ﷺ awakened them for prayers in the night. And Ali said, Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Prophet of Allah, it is our soul in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wanted us, He would have awakened us or resurrected us from the sleep. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind of like, you know, hitting his lap with his hand. And he said that the human is going to come out and arguing a lot. The human will come forward as a great arguer. So that's the ayah from the, you know, yes, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are many incentives and many recommendations and commands that we do these night prayers, etc. So we cannot rely on those universal realities and we say everything in the hands of Allah and we never do any effort or any work. As for those who again, as for those who limit to some of the mothers, this is a tremendous area in which an errant ones were mistaken, and in which confusion increased upon the travelers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that the number of senior sheikhs who alleged that they were people of the haqqaiq or the truth and the tawheed and the people of the irfan, that they have the knowledge but who slipped in regard, I mean, and in this regard, cannot be enumerated except by Allah, who knows the secret and the revealed. And Sheikh Abdul Qadir pointed out this. He has pointed this, as is mentioned about him. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani, may Allah have His mercy upon him. Abdul Qadir Jailani was a scholar of Hanbali school of thought, and he was a Sufi person, but that was the right Sufism. That was, and some of his students, his Imam Ibn Qudam is one of his students, and al-Maqdisi has migrated from Sham to him and studied at his hands. Sheikh Mukif, and the Sheikh, he's talking about, ممكن تعيد العلاقة بين ابن تيمية والشيخ عبد القادر؟ The relationship between ابن تيمية and عبد القادر الجيلاني. Ibn Taymiyyah, you would narrate from Shams ibn Amr al-Maqdisi and from Imam Muhammad ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi from Abdul Qadir Jailani. And the Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani pointed out this very thing, and as is mentioned to him, he explained that when many people arrived at the top, at the topic of Al-Qadha and Al-Qadr, they refrained, but not me. As a window has been opened in it, like a window that from the ceiling where light can come in from the top down. That's the window that will be right, like a sun window. And he said, as a window has been opened in it for me, and I contend the decrees, so that all the good things will come through this window down to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as this window will, and this light will come through it inside. And was open for me, and I contend the degrees of the truth, with the truth, for the truth. Moreover, a real man is one who contends with Al-Qadr, not one who sanctions it. So Imam Abdul Qadir here, he said many men when they get to the topic of the Qadha and Qadr, they refrain. Why would some people refrain? Some of them would refrain from Qadha and Qadr, some of them thinking of it as a good thing, and some of them thinking of it as a bad thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, this ummah, my nation, will be good until after they will be talking about their children and what's going to happen in the future for them. And even the Qadr, when the Prophet ﷺ told us not to talk about it, it is that we should not talk about it in a way that we criticize Allah's decree, or we criticize what happens already, and we become kind of like question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when the Prophet ﷺ warned us not to talk about it in that way. And Abdul Qadir here say that many people, when they get to the point of talking about Qada and Qadr, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they refrain from talking about it. And Abdul Qadir see that as a wrong thing for those people to do. They cannot refrain from it. And they would submit to whatever happened to them, even shortcomings that happened to them. Even the shortcoming that happened to them, or even some of the wrongdoings that might happen from them, they would submit to it. And they will not work against it, and they will not work into the direction of fixing it. And they said, this is part of the decree of Allah that happened, so we are not going to do anything about it. And they said, since it is something that is being decreed by Allah, then I should not even do anything. I should just accept it. This is whether this is something concerning them as individuals, or something that will happen to the surrounding where they are. And when it comes to yourself, I mean, you are obligated to discipline yourself and to control your desire. And as far as those around you, it is your role to do what you can to change them to the better. So, but to just not to do anything and not to even enjoy the good among others, with others, and forbid the evil, and just say that all this is decreed by Allah, that is wrong. Like, you cannot look at the disbeliever and say he disbelieved because Allah wanted him to disbelieve. Or you see the mushrik and say he is a mushrik because it's Allah decreed that he is a mushrik. And Shaykh Abdul Qadir, in this case, he's criticizing those who would basically do not do anything, and they say this is the will of Allah and we cannot do anything about it. And he said that, as for me, I contend the decrees of the truth with the truth for the truth. So he said that this, like Allah, would, I guess the example he gave is like this window that is on the ceiling that open, the roof open for him. So he said, as for me, I contend the decrees of the truth with the truth for the truth. And whatever Allah decrees on you, Allah may decrees an obedience on the servant, and there may be things that the servant would not like, and there are some that the servant will like. I mean, as things that Allah decree on them, and some of them as bounties, the bounties that Allah would decree, where the servant would like them, and there are the things that are be decreed on the servant, but he doesn't like them. When it comes to the wrongdoings, if these sins are something that the servant does on his own as an individual, the cure of it or the way to deal with it is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if those decrees are things that are happening to the believer and he doesn't like them, like sickness or being ill, or and the servant in this case should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve it from him and to look for and seek all the ways that he can rid himself from them. And here the Shaykh Abdul Qadir said that if any of these decrees are things that happened and I would deal with them with the truth, as we have explained, like if the bad decree is a sin, I mean it has to be cured or dealt with the repentance. If it was a tragedy or an adversary that happened to the believer, it has to be by supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by seeking the cure. And he continued to say, I do this by the truth, which means do all of this keep in mind that you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point here is to please Allah and never go out of the way of pleasing Allah. And he said, a real man is one who contends with al-qadr, not one who sanctions it. And here when he says the man here talks about as the righteous person, the person who does the right thing. is the one who's not, who's going to do something about the qadr that happens, and not the one that would abandon it and avoid it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said for rajul, I mean, Allah described rijal, men, which is translated as men. In this case, Allah described them in the good way, where they do honorable things and they perform things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the individual of that, which is rajul, it is used in a good way. And says that a man is one who contends with al-qadr, not the one who sanctions it. Is the one who would do something about the qadr, is not the one that just submit and say that no, this is all done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going to do anything about it. So, and again, the man in this case would be the one, if he was doing a sin, he will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it. If he was tested with an adversary or with a test, he will ask Allah to relieve it from him, and he will do things that would lead him to the cure of it, or so, and again here, the man is the one who will do something about what happened, and not submit and just sit there and do nothing. So, and here Abdul Qadir Jailani, in here he described the one who doesn't do anything in that case is anti-man, which is. And again here one point support what Abdul Qadir said. If we recall when Umar ibn Khattab wanted to go to Asham, and in Asham there was an epidemic that was spreading on the area. And as Umar was approaching Asham, they told Umar that there was an epidemic going in Sham. So Umar told all the people with him and asked them if they would continue to go into Sham, knowing that there was an epidemic in there. And that was spreading all over the area of Sham. And this epidemic was something that about 30,000 people died out of it, of this spread disease and in Asham. And some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were caught in the middle of it in Asham. And Abu Ubaidah Amr ibn Jarrah was there when his army had 36,000 men as fighters. About 30,000 of them died out of this epidemic. And as Umar was heading towards Asham, where this epidemic was, he asked the people with him, should we go in Asham or should we return? And the people said to Umar, oh Umar, are you going to escape the decree of Allah? And Umar said, well, we are escaping the decree of Allah only to head into a decree of Allah. We don't know what's going to happen to us again. So, and he said, I escaped the decree of Allah, which is the epidemic, but I'm heading into a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar did avoid to get into Asham at that point. And no matter what Umar would have done, I mean, he's going to end up in the decree of Allah anyway. If he go back, then Allah decreed for him to do so, and whatever is going to happen to him afterward is decreed by Allah. And Umar did not know about the hadith that talks about the epidemics at that time. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf came, he had the knowledge of the hadith, and he told him about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the epidemic is spread in a land that you are in it, do not leave that land, If there is any disease spread or an epidemic that is spread into an area that you are in it, do not leave it. But if you are outside of the area where the disease is spreading, don't get into it. Do not get into it. So the Prophet ﷺ, I mean, the hadith was there, and Umar wasn't aware of the hadith at the time, apparently, until after Abdurrahman ibn Auf came and told him about it. Which means that, I mean, by the same talking, we say that a person has to escape from the sins towards the good deeds. And no matter what we do in this case, we are ruled by the qadr or decree of Allah. And the Sheikh, the author here, is describing more about what Abdul Qadir Gilani said. What has been mentioned by the Sheikh, may Allah have mercy upon him, is what Allah and His Messenger have commanded. However, many people have erred in this regard. Many of the men or people went wrong into this. However, there are many people that felt wrong into this regard. Many of the men, they may witness the disobedience and sins that have been ordained upon one of them or another person, or even indeed if it is kufr, they witness that this is occurring by the will of Allah and by His al-qada, al-qadr, has been included within the command of His Lordship and the dictates of His will. Hence, they believe that acceptance of this agreement of it and contentment of it, and so on, is part of the deen. So many people would look at those sins or wrongdoings that are going on, and they said these are all decreed by Allah, and Allah wanted this to happen. And they look at it as something decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they wouldn't do much about it. And they say nothing is going to happen except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they never do any effort to change things to a better or to improve things. And so they would not do much of the enjoining the goods or forbidding the evils or reminding others or anything like that. And they are wrong in that, actually. And hence, they believe that acceptance of the agreement of it is contentment, so part of the deen of Allah. In such circumstances, they resemble the mushrikeen, who said, if Allah has willed, we would not have taken partners in worshipping with Him, nor would our fathers, and we would not have forbidden anything against His will. And they also, they made many things unlawful from what Allah has given them, I mean from the bounties that Allah has given them, and they have made many practices as unlawful or forbidden. And they have responded by saying this thing, I mean, to support their mischief and wrongdoings. And they also said, shall we feed those whom if Allah will, He would have fed? Because when Allah or the Prophet told them to feed the poor and to be kind to the poor, and they said, well, are we going to feed somebody that Allah would have fed if He willed? So they said, this poor person or the hungry person, who made them hungry? They said, and they think that Allah decreed that these are hungry because Allah willed that they should be so. So why should we feed them? Yes, it's true that it's Allah will that they became hungry, but also we should do something about it by feeding them, and we will not just accept it and do nothing. And because that's part of it is that Allah is testing you, the rich person, the one who had enough bounties, whether you would share it with others or not, whether you would pay and give and support the needy or not. Because that it is Allah has commanded them, the rich one, to share what they have and to give for the sake of Allah and to feed the poor and etc. And they also said, if it had been the will of the most beneficent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not have worshipped them. They're referring to their idols that were there. If they had been rightly guided, they would have understood that we have been ordered to be content with Al-Qadr and to be patient with its injunctions in the calamities that afflict us, such as poverty, sickness, and fear. Allah said, no calamity befalls but by the permission of Allah, and whosoever believes in Allah, He guides his heart. Some of the Salafs have said, this is in the reference to the person who is afflicted with calamity, but he knows that it is from Allah, and therefore is content with it and submit to it. So some of the scholars among the Tabi'een, and they said this is about a man, that a person that afflicted with a calamity, and he knows it's from Allah, and he accepts and submit to Allah. And Allah also said, no calamity befalls on earth or in yourselves, but it is in a book before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah, in order that you may not be sad over matters that you fail to gain, nor rejoice at that which has been given to you. And talking again here about the calamity and the pronoun it. Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would know about the calamity and in the books of Allah before, even if it exists or even before it happened. For example, if earthquake or any of the disasters that might happen, or droughts that may happen, or even disease, etc. All of these are in a book, recorded in a book before even it come to existence. Because that's easy for Allah. In order that you may not be sad over matters that you fail to gain, nor rejoice at that which has been given to you. So you will not feel be sad, and at the same time you will not be overly excited or happy about what is being given to you. So we have to realize and remember and believe that everything is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it happened. As far as calamities that happen on this earth, that's like hurricanes or earthquakes, and the brother is asking, how would we know if these are because of the mischief of man on earth, or is it a test? As Allah said, whatever calamity that happens to you, it is as a result of what you have done. So the earthquakes and they may have reasons, materialistic reasons that Allah knows about them. Or for example, like the moon eclipse or the sun eclipse, all these are universal signs. There may be reasons and that are physical or materialistic reasons, and there may be religious reasons. And there is no any differences or contradiction between those reasons. So both reasons would exist. And for example, a person that Allah decreed some kind of adversary happened to him. For example, if he became sick, if Allah tested him with a disease, we wouldn't say that the disease happened to him or he's sick because of his deeds. But we also know that there may be cases where somebody will be afflicted with a calamity or adversity because of the wrongdoings or the mischief that they do. So now when we look at it, the physical reason behind this is that Allah decreed that this person becomes sick. But the spiritual or the religious reasoning, it could be because of something or not. Same thing about the bounties. For example, increase in wealth, an increase in children, an increase of and in bounties. They may have, they will have reasons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if you seek forgiveness from Allah, Allah will bring rain to you, and Allah will give you wealth, and Allah will give you offsprings. So these are religious or spiritual reasons, but they will result into physical and material results. So you can feel the results of it, that these are physical things that will happen. I mean, person become more wealthy, become have more children. So in this case, people have followed or sought the religious or the spiritual reasons, and the results are physical. So the person in this case would seek the religious reasons that would benefit him in those material things. So with all that said, if a specific area or land or country where there are hurricanes or earthquakes or volcanoes, we would not say that just because of the mischief. Okay, there may be the same thing that's happened in a place where the people are all people that are believers and righteous people. Or maybe you look at the place where there are less mischief and there will be more calamities happening. We cannot draw conclusion. We cannot draw conclusion and say here is happening because of the sins are much more than here or there. But we have to hear and say these are happening because of the will of Allah and the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believer may be the one who has the least sins, but Allah may decree on him a great test. And that test will be difficult on him, but it will be a reason for Allah to have more mercy on this believer at the end. So that when the believer will go through this difficulty, Allah will wipe his sins and give him more reward for his patience. So all these are controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just doing mischief or doing evil things is not the only reason that we see some of these calamities or some of these adversaries happening in this earth. There may be reasons behind it, there may not. We will stop here for the Maghrib and then we'll continue inshallah.